You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Welcome to the Queen Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm back again with my host, my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
Hello.
Hello, and today we're going to talk about life outside of comedy. Now, this is things that you do. Remember, we talked in the last episode, we read Judd Apatow's Sick of the Head. We talked about how you need to have life outside of comedy, and that was a big thing from Chris Rock, the thing that I really picked up on and wanted to do. You know, I wrote jokes based on, you know, trips to Florida, trips to Texas, playing Dungeons and Dragons, playing video games, hanging out with my friends, hanging out with my family, whatever it is. If you're just doing the same thing over and over again, it's not going to be any difference. You're not going to break up the monotony. You're not going to come up with a fresh material. So today we're going to talk about things that we do, life outside of comedy, that keeps us stimulated. I am a avid book reader. So that's where book club came from, is I love to read. I read all kinds of books. I read, you know, action thrillers. I read funny books. I read biographies. I read historical books. I read, I'm reading the book series about Dritz, the drow elf from D&D, which is now in a Magic the Gathering set. I play Magic the Gathering probably once or twice a week, sometimes three times a week if I get lucky. And I'm doing stuff, and I'm playing Magic the Gathering, which it's this style, the format is called Commander. So it's a 100-card deck that you play with three other people. You can play with I've heard people playing with up to eight people, but that sounds very confusing. You can also play 1v1 Commander, which is okay. And you can also play Team Commander, where it's four people, but two people are on one team, two people are on another team, and they just try to destroy the other two people. You build the deck yourself, do a lot of stuff. I like it because it's challenging my mind. It's challenging my thought process. I'm having conversations with people at the table. We're having fun. We make up our own inside jokes or whatever. One of the phrases that keeps coming up while I'm playing, when somebody's going to do something big, they're going to like try to do a big play to like wipe everybody else out or win the game or whatever. They say, I'm going to risk it for the biscuit, which is like I never heard before. So I'm learning all kinds of stuff. But these are things that keep me engaged. I go to, you know, my daughter's cheer things, which are football games or basketball games or whatever. I go to one of my daughter's dance recitals. So I'm out and about and I'm doing stuff with other people. I don't just sit at home and write stuff for people. I do that, but I'm not always doing that. And I'd rather not. I probably write 3 to 4 hours a day, and then the rest of my day I do other stuff, because my brain just cannot, for 3 or 4 hours of writing, my brain's kind of fried after that. I need to do something else. But what else do you do outside of comedy, Luke? Do you have hobbies?
Boring. It's funny because you're talking about hobbies, but like these hobbies, I wouldn't write comedy about. So just like playing Switch games.
That's okay though. You have to get your, but you're doing something besides just thinking about comedy, right? Is what I'm saying. Like you have to be doing other things.
Yeah. So I think just like streaming stuff, and then Switch is kind of like, those are my go-tos.
Do you read a lot of books too, or no, not really?
I do. Mostly like either on comedy or business.
Yeah.
I just downloaded a John Cleese book on creativity that I came across.
That's cool.
Very interesting. So I'm reading that, and then the other one's probably a business book or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, kind of like we were talking about on the previous episode, even on my time off, or it's funny, I'm always thinking about like new jokes or premises. Mm-hmm. So we do have a baby on the way soon, and I just came up with a premise that would be funny about, and it sparked it just by thinking about like my first time going to Bye Bye Baby. And so I have a whole premise now, and probably material that I can use for it just by going to a new store.
What is Bye Bye Baby? I don't know what that is, by the way.
It's like what, Bed Bath and Beyond, like they own it,
but just for babies,
just baby stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Or maybe it's called something else. I think it's Bye Bye Baby.
I don't know.
Someone
comment. It's Baby Baby and Beyond.
It basically, because I walked in and it's the same layout as Bed Bath and Beyond. I was like, this is like Bed Bath and Beyond. It's just baby
stuff. Here's the kitchen stuff for babies. Here's the when they're college, the college baby stuff.
Yeah. And it really is, it's overwhelming because it's like walking into a new world.
Yeah.
Just like all the products out there. So yeah, just having that little experience, I think I can make something pretty good out of it.
Yeah, well, my wife and I first had our first kid. We went to a place called Kids R Us. It's like owned by the Toys R Us Corporation, but they like is all baby stuff or whatever. And literally, I was overwhelmed. I was like, "What? How's there this much stuff for a kid?" Like, just
yeah.
I was like, "Man, when my mom, when I was a baby, my mom just like, you know, here's a bottle. Shut up." You're like, there wasn't a swing and like a thing that made me go to sleep and made sounds or whatever. Like, they didn't care about that stuff back then, you know. Well, I don't even think I was in a car seat. I think somebody just like buckled me in. I was like, good luck, you know. Like, there's no, now we do like everything. I was like, all right, this car seat has extra padded head space, and if you get in an accident, it turns into a bubble and protects your baby forever, you know. Like, and the rest of the car will melt, but your baby will be safe. And you're like, what is going on right now? And yeah, it's ridiculous. I agree. Like, there is a lot to, especially with kids, that you could make a lot of jokes and stuff about. But I feel like as a parent now, like, we don't do this. I don't treat my kids the same way I was treating them as a kid. Like, my mom would let me just go ride off wherever I wanted to on a bike and didn't care when I came home. Mm-hmm. But my kids, I'm like, all right, if I can't see you, like, don't go any place I can't see you. And if you see traffic, you get out of the street right away. You know, it's so weird. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like things are safer now because we have cell phones and whatnot. But at the same time, it can also be like unsafer as well because of that.
Yeah,
which is weird because, like, you know, yeah, I did the same thing. I would like go ride around on my bike, like, you know, anywhere and just go explore.
Yeah,
which was probably, yeah, you know, I mean, that's what we did,
you yeah
know? And there was no cell phone or anything or tracker on us.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's,
it was like, just come back before the street lights come on, or come back, you know, whatever. And so yeah, if you were, and that's the other thing, is if you weren't bothering your parents didn't care. But now, if my kids are quiet for too long, I start looking for them. I'm like, what's going on? What's up? Where is everybody? You know, like, just the way it is. So, yeah. It's going to be a weird thing. So that's the thing, is you should have hobbies. You should have other things they're doing outside of comedy. Yes, it's great to read up on comedy. It's great to read up, especially business, too. Mm-hmm. And then find other things. And then, like I said, you and I both do side hustles, which I think is also another way to make our brains work differently. Like, because if you have like a regular 9-to-5 job, not knocking anybody that does have one, because dude, you got to do you. You have to do the thing that's going to work for you. But I felt so drained of any comedic ability by the end of the day that sometimes I dreaded going out to do stand up, to do open mics, and I wanted to have fun. Now it's like, okay, cool, I did my thing for the day. Now I can go out and have fun, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the difference there. And I would work at a place 9-to-5. Well, I don't really want to work. I would work at a place 9-to-5 if it had something to do with comedy related. Like, if I was like, if I got the writing job I mentioned on the last thing, if I got that position, which I don't know yet, I'm waiting to hear back. I, you know, it's not, it looked looking good, but like, if I got that, then it'd be great. I write humorous stuff on stuff that I love, and then I can take jokes that I maybe got. They said, "Nah, we don't like that joke," or "No, we're not going to use that joke," and maybe build it into a routine for something else. Or maybe I know I wrote a bunch of jokes. I know a bunch. Some of those jokes won't fit for this project or the show, but hey, it would fit for a special pop culture nerds with words type stand up set or something like that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's all about different experiences. And also, me not playing Magic would not have led me to the opportunity to write humorous content for this site. So it's kind of, in a way, like, if I wasn't doing anything outside of my norm, I would have never discovered this thing, which never would have opened the opportunity. Now, again, I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if I'm going to get that position, but it opened a door that I wouldn't have been opened otherwise.
Yeah. And touching on like work, I think stress is the number one creativity killer.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I would be open to working a 9-to-5 as long as it was a low stress.
Yeah.
But I've never been in, I mean, my first job at Old Navy, I'll go back something like that. But everything else, you know, after that was just so high stress that I mean, even at home, that's what I was like worried about all the time.
Yeah.
And now like I come up with jokes probably like 300-400% more, just because that's kind of what I'm doing all day.
Yeah.
Wait,
so, you're telling me that retail was not stressful? Retail sounds like the most stressful job in the world.
Well, I mean, I was a teen, so I think that kind of cut some of it down.
Yeah.
The only stress at Old Navy was trying to get people to sign up for their credit cards.
Yeah, that's
that was stressful. Like I think I was there for like a year. I never sold one.
You want to sign up for the credit card? No, I don't use it myself. This is from Baby Gap across the street. You know, like
some people got offended too, and like, and just like got real crazy when you asked them to sign up for a credit card. So after a couple of people freaked out, I was like, I'm not asking anyone. It's not part of my job. I'm ringing them up, folding clothes. That's it. You know.
So they didn't make you ask people for the credit card thing? Like, were
every morning it was like suggested, like, hey, you know, we had the leaderboard too. I was always at the bottom for credit cards. And then like the top, you know, the top one would flaunt that, you know, they had like 50 cards for the month.
Yeah. It was always a girl too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I know. I worked at JP Morgan Chase. I worked at Chase Bank for a while when I was finishing my MBA. And I wanted to go work in investment banking. Why? I don't know. I'm insane, but I wanted to do that. I really liked that process. I do investing, side investing and stuff like that. I do my own thing. But we would have to also push credit cards. But I also, because I was in my MBA class and I was learning about credit and debt and all this, I knew that was terrible for people. And I was reading like a ton of like business books and wealth books and stuff. It's like, don't get credit cards. And I also was listening to like Dave Ramsey and whatever. So I would never sell credit cards. If someone asked like, hey, do you have any credit cards? Then I would whatever. And my manager one day was like, hey, you didn't ask them about a credit card. I was like, yeah, credit cards are terrible. She's like, you work at a bank. We make money off of that. And I was like, no, you make money off the interest that people, when they put their money in our accounts, you hold their money, you make interest on it, give them less money from that, and then give them their money back and make them feel like you've done something nice for them. And so that was kind of the end of like me working at Chase, because I was like, this is the scam here, guys. Like, hey, Chase is like, give us $100. We'll give you money back. Like, have you ever seen it? Gotten the thing where it's like, if you invest this much amount of money, we give you $500 or whatever and stuff, but it also has to be a certain amount of months. Yes, because when you put that money in, they hold it into a high yield investment account that makes them, you know, you put in 10,000, they make 10,000, and then they give you your measly $500. That's what happens. Sorry, guys. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And so, yeah, I wasn't a good, and also I never was the highest salesperson. I would get customer feedback stuff, and I always got the most positive customer feedback because I didn't push stuff.
Yeah.
And people would also be like, hey, I need to do this thing. And I was like, well, this is the easy way to do this. And, you know, it's not going to cost you anything or whatever. You don't have to pay annual rates, whatever. And I would help them figure stuff out. Or it helps. And also, if you help the customer open an account, you got a certain amount of points or whatever. You're supposed to get a certain amount of points every single month. But nobody wanted to help customers who had like problems with their accounts because that took away from a sale. So I would always take that. And then luckily we got like customer feedback and that would count towards stuff, but I would get good customer feedback. Like, he wasn't pushy. He didn't try to sell me anything. Like, very nice, very helpful. I was like, yeah, I don't want to sell you anything. I hate selling stuff. And I was good, but I was good with the investment stuff. When people are like, hey, I've got my tax return back. What should I do? And I was like, what debt do you have? And then like, we go through it and they're like, oh, I don't have any debt, or I have a credit card. Well, first of all, pay off a credit card, put the rest of that in a high yield savings account. Or if you don't have an investment account, like your 401k or something like that, put it in that, start something like that. And they're like, oh, okay. And then I would get all my referrals off of investment. Like, I would refer to investment stuff because I wanted people to kind of grow their stuff. And anytime a college person would come in, like, yeah, I probably should get a credit card. I'm like, no, you don't. Do you have a car? Do you have a car payment? They're like, yeah. That's your credit. Like, don't get a credit card. Don't rack it up, because you'll regret it later on when you owe like $10,000 of credit card debt and you look around and you're like, what did I even buy with that stuff? You know? So, yeah. And that's the thing, is being knowledgeable about things in the world also helps you with make jokes, right? Like,
that was my phone falling on the floor.
That's how I made there's a Hogwarts joke that I make that's about college and money or whatever. And so, understanding the financial process of college and those things made that joke possible, right? And I make it easier for people to understand what the joke's all about. So,
today I came up with an idea for a new song. Oh, it's actually about Chase.
No way.
Yeah. Cause I had some initial ideas, but then just like the hook came to me and, a couple verses. So I'm like, oh, this is good. And then too, like, I do bank with Chase amongst.
Me too. I do too as well. they're the better of the big banks. They're like they are the better of the big banks. And I also have USAA, which is a veterans owned majority credit union type thing, bank, whatever. So.
I mean, yeah, Chase is nice just because they're everywhere. So like the convenient factor is there. But like I got an email from them. Like I think this was last year. They're like, oh, hey, if you buy a Maserati, we'll give you $500 off. I'm like, you see how much money that I have, Chase? Like, how? Like, that was that my steering wheel of the Maserati? Like,
yeah. Come on. Well, we would also have to get these call. We would get call lists and have to call people to invite them in or whatever. And when I look at people's bank account and be like, invite them in for $10,000 if they put $10,000 in, we'll get. I was like, I'm looking at this dude's account. He's got $5. What he's not gonna do? What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So it was so weird. And also, one of the things that you couldn't do at Chase, because a lot of celebrities did do bank with Chase or whatever, you couldn't go like look up their information. Mm. Like if you did, it would like pop up and you get fired for it or whatever. Mm. So, but that almost happened to me one time because at the time, one of my clients was Anthony Sabato Jr. Or Antonio Sabato Jr. You know what that is? He ran for like state senator, I think, but he was also a big actor on like soap operas or whatever. Uh-huh. And his wife was one of our clients, like his wife at the time. And she was super nice. And so I had to look up his stuff one day. And then like my manager came to me like, hey, why are you looking up this person's stuff? And I was like, oh, I'm doing something for his wife. And then I have to take the mortgage paperwork and whatever to their house. Like, so I did. Like, I literally had to, like, do that stuff. But I remember being like, oh, no. And I was like, yeah, I'm in the right here. I have all the information. And I, like, was able to show my manager everything. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. But, yeah, it, like, I looked it up. They got a call. And then the manager came to me to ask me, like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, oh.
Wow.
But then I got to go to their house with, like, some mortgage paperwork and some other paperwork and get them assigned and, like, hung out in their house for a little while or whatever. That's cool.
That's cool.
Saw all their Ferraris and stuff. Like, yeah, it's great. All right. So, yeah, it was fun. But, that I mean, those are the experiences that you have, like, at jobs. You have different life experiences that you wouldn't normally have. I mean, I worked as a security guard at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and I got to meet Chuck Zito and Howard Stern and Bam Margera and, like, all kinds of people. Like, it was just, you know, meet all just random famous people all the time. So it was cool. I met all the, you know, Fieldy from Korn and all the Beastie Boys and everyone from, I just go blank. What's the band? I just went blank now.
Hanson.
No, not at all. Let's see. I'll tell you right now. POD. Do you remember the band POD?
Yep.
I got to meet all them. I have a sign, like they're signed some signed stuff. They signed my stuff. I hung out with them for a while. So yeah, like just different jobs give you different experiences, you know. Like I did all kinds of stuff at that job. I worked at different casinos. I saw all kinds of weird stuff. I was a firearms instructor. Right. So jobs also give you experience and let you learn stuff, but if you literally just went to work and went to do stand up, you would lose all your creative muscle. You have to do other stuff outside of it. That means if you're a single person, go on dates. Yes, they might suck, but you might get great material from it, right? If you're married, take your spouse out, take your kids out, go to the theme parks, go to the park, go to, you know, whatever your kids want to do, go to the movies, go out to dinner. You're going to have weird experiences. Take them shopping. Just go to the mall sometimes and walk around. I hear a lot of comedians, when they go to new towns, they walk around the mall. And because you see a lot of weird stuff, you know, I saw like a dude at the mall one time with a parrot on his head, not on his shoulder, like a pirate on his head as he walked around the mall. And I was like, what is this dude's deal? There's a dude in my neighborhood. You know, do you know who Anthony Kiedis is?
No.
He's the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
So there's a dude in my, there's a dude in my neighborhood who looks like a really tan Anthony Kiedis that I see running everywhere. Literally, I see him everywhere. I was driving on the freeway. He's running on the overpass. I get off the freeway and go to 7-Eleven. He's running down the street. I'm like, does this dude just run all the time? Like, what's his deal? Like, and I want to stop and ask him one time, but I feel like I might offend him, so I don't ask him. There's also two guys in my neighborhood. One's in a wheelchair, one's not. The guy in the not in the wheelchair pushes the other one up and down the street, like on our busy street, Canaan. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and talked to them one time. And I was like, hey, I see you guys everywhere. You guys seem to like have fun. I got to know them. They were super cool. I said, hey, if you ever need anything, this is where I live. I will gladly help you. So if you need a lift, you get stuck or whatever. I just live your life. Like, be a human, interact with other human beings too. That might be way over the top. Like, don't just start stopping random people and telling them you're going to help them. But just like, you know how it is. So
I think too, what works especially well for stand-up is if you go somewhere that you're uncomfortable with, then you're a fish out of water. And then there's your stand-up right there. Like, your whole experience that you go through, it's probably good material.
Yeah. I want to write about like the parent meetings that I have to go to for high school stuff. Cause it's weird. One of them I thought was a swinger party, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Yeah. So weird me out. I actually don't know how to bring that to stage yet. I'm working on it, but it really weirded me out. I was like, my wife, I'm looking at my wife, like, we're talking to different people. Cause we got separated. We're talking to different people. And, the guy is like touching her back. Right. And like there's like couples and they're like kind of getting closer to the other person that's not their spouse. And then like, so I see my wife, I go get food. I see my wife, I go, I think this is a swingers party. You should go. Like, wife was like, I was thinking the same thing. And so like, I don't know. It was just whatever. So there you go. I don't know how to do that as like a good bit yet. I haven't figured that whole thing out, but I know there is more to this that we can do. And it's not, and the weird thing is it's not been one party in particular that's happened at. It's been several parties where I felt like this gives a weird vibe, especially with like, hey, all the alcohol you could drink, buddy. And I'm like, No, I don't think so. Like, no. So, yeah. Being a fish out of water definitely has its moments. And say I can't bring you to the stage, maybe I can put it in a script somewhere. Like, a silly family comedy or whatever. So, stuff like that.
Yeah, or a blog.
Or a blog. And if you've ever seen That 70s Show, there is an episode of That 70s Show where Red and Kitty are invited to what's called a key party back in the day.
That's right.
and Red freaks out and rips Kitty out of the party or whatever. Yeah. And she doesn't get what's going on. And he's totally flipping out. And that was our situation too. So, and I brought that up to my wife. She goes, oh yeah, I remember that episode. I go, yeah, that's why. That's always in my head when I go to parties. But like a lot of adult, where there's no kids and it's just all adult couples. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is about to happen right now? So, yeah. And that's the thing, is that maybe I'm just a weird person. Maybe not, but whatever. So
that's a great show. That 70s Show, that was a great show.
That's a great show. I'm actually watching News Radio right now. I'm watching all the old episodes of News Radio. It had Joe Rogan, Andy Dick, Dave Foley, Phil Hartman. I mean, it was a great cast. So fantastic show. So think about things that you can do outside of comedy, outside of work. Go live your life, because you need to have life outside of comedy. You need to have life experiences that you can bring to the stage or bring to your script if you're a screenwriter or your TV show or whatever. Because if you're just doing the same thing every day, one, your comedy is going to get stale. Two, you're going to get stale. And three, you're not going to have any cool experiences to write about or make fun of or enjoy. You know, we just made fun of a bunch of experiences that we had in our lives on this podcast. It is, we, you know, entertain ourselves. Is it stand up? No. But is it something funny? Maybe something else comes out of it. Sure. That's exactly what could happen. Luke, where can people find you at?
Luke LaCoy, all over everything.
All over everything. All over everything. All right. And you can find me, jamesdcrevison.com, jamesdcrevison on everything, or comedypreneur.com. Check out more blog posts and stuff there. Please like, subscribe, share the podcast with everybody. Let's get our numbers up. Let's get subscribers on YouTube going up. And if you have questions, you want to do anything, you want to know more about playing Magic the Gathering, go ahead and hit me up, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week, and bye.